like it. And I don't know how you're going to get me to think that I'm ever going to like it either. So for my kids, what am I saying to them? But they said, well, what did you guys do, you know? What did you do, you know? And literally, I don't know what the hell we did, except I know that we're losing, number one.
Thank you, ma'am. Thank you very much. I should say that when I write my report and send it to you next summer, I hope I will be able to come up with some proposals. The thing is complicated and it's difficult, but with the help you're giving me today in making it clear what really matters to you, makes it easier for me to write a report that that will, I hope, be helpful. Yeah. Could you come over here and... Well, we've done that. So we might try to do that.
What is more effective, because it seems like a lot of us are so reluctant to
walk. Yeah, I know. Well,
I'd like to know what would the IRA, how would the IRA benefit the native people if they were to take the land and turn it over to them?
Well, the people who say that the corporations should turn the land over to the IRAs make the point, they say, first of all, that everybody belongs to the IRA, so that the children born since 1971 would be able to participate in the settlement. They say that since you don't have shares in the IRA, that is, you become a member when you're born and you cease to be a member when you die, you can't sell your membership in the IRA, that nobody can take over the IRA. Outsiders can't take it over and control it because only Native people in the particular village can be members of the IRA. Finally, you can't tax the IRA's land. So they say those are reasons to transfer the land to the IRAs. That's one of the big issues. And I've heard a lot of people argue in favor of transferring the land to the IRA. That is, the villages should go IRA. But it should be remembered that if you transfer the land to the IRA, then the IRA's dealings with the land are subject to, in many cases, to the approval of the Secretary of the Interior, and some people don't like that. That's why we're thinking about some other trust arrangements where village people could control the land but not be subject to the federal government's control. We've had, for instance, Aboriginal people from Australia come to Anchorage to talk about how they control their land. And they, for instance, have land councils where the elders hold the land for all the people of the village. We're just trying to learn from what people are doing in other countries. I can tell you this, that in other countries where Native people are settling their claims, nobody has gone along with ANCSA. Nobody has gone along with shareholders and corporations. All the other Native people around the world have rejected that. They say, we don't want that Alaska land claims model. So you're the ones that have got this quite unique setup. And it seems obvious to me from what I've heard everywhere I've gone that you're not all that happy with it. And one of the solutions is to go IRA, as you say. I'm not certain that's the solution or even the best. Not at all sure it's the best one, but it's one that keeps coming up. People keep bringing it up.
Yeah. Can you explain the land bank concept just for so people would understand what it is?
Well, under the 1980, Congress said that a corporation could take land used for subsistence and put it in a land bank. Doesn't go into a bank, but it is land that then cannot be taxed for as long as it's in the land bank. So that's one way of protecting subsistence lands, by using the land bank. And that is, a corporation decides that this land here, this piece of land, is land that ought to be used for subsistence, so we're going to put it in a land bank, and maybe it'll be there for 5 years, and as long as it's in the land bank, it can't be taxed by the state. Now, you should remember that if the corporation is taken over by outsiders, they would then control that land when it comes out of the land bank. The land bank is certainly a worthwhile idea. I'm just putting forward the good side and the bad side of it. I wonder if our Donahue over here could... Can you take a mic around? Yeah, that would be even better. Okay.
I hear the fish is running.
I gotta go when the fish is running. I'm like Caroline over here. I haven't seen anything yet that the Native land claims did for me. Nothing. Just nothing. I got a check, I think less than $300, and that's it. Everything I have, I've worked for it. I homesteaded, I had to plow 5 acres, I had to get 40 acre tract, plow 5 acres and plant it. But to this day, I can't see what they did for me.
Well, that's why I'm here, to find out, well, what did ANCSA do for you?
Mm-hmm.
And you say not very much.
Less than $300, I think most of us shareholders got here in our corporation. But that's mm-hmm. it. It's just like the when we became a state, we didn't vote for it, and all of a sudden here we were a state, and everybody's wondering how come we became a state. Pretty soon there was a great big bonfire in Anchorage on the ballpark there, and everybody was so surprised that we became a state, and you talk to people and they say they didn't vote for being to become a state.
Well, that's, well, Alaska's a state now. There's nothing you can do about that.
No, but that's where the land claims was, too.
Yeah.
All of a sudden it came, and it just came and just swished through town and out, and we didn't even know what the heck was going on. We weren't educated, and that's why I said maybe we should start educating our teachers. Go to the schools and just let them know that these kids should be educated in these things, okay. Because we aren't, so maybe they will be.
Well, when we've been to other villages, when school's in,
mm-hmm.
I've gone to the school and talked to the children about ANCSA, and in fact, Mary Kenswick and Eileen McLean, who also works for our commission, Eileen is from Barrow, they often go into the schools when the schools are
mm-hmm.
are going and talk to the kids. So we're trying to help out that way, but that's just a beginning.
There's nobody that comes even now to the villages that would
well,
help educate the...
You have a high school here,
mm-hmm.
and there is nothing in the curriculum in the high school mm-hmm. relating to land claims. Is that right?
No. I don't think so.
Yeah.
Oh, for all winter or just part of the winter or what?
Probably a semester or something, or half, one quarter.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if there's an old.
Yeah. But I think that's where it should start. Thank you.
Mary, do you want to take the mic over there and we'll... Oh, I see.
Your suggestion, should we start with you?
If corporations decide to turn some of their corporate lands into national wildlife refuges, is that up for, I mean, you use it for public use? Is that one way of saving your lands and say like in a land bank?
That's an interesting idea. Nobody's brought it up yet. I mean, you're the first to do that. And I suppose the argument is, if the corporations turn over their land to the federal government to be a wildlife refuge, as long as they allow native people to engage in subsistence on that land, then it's protected, because it can't be taken over by the state or by a private owner. That's an interesting idea, and I'd like to think about that. I know that in some regions, they wanted the federal government to select lands for wildlife refuges because they thought that would mean the land would be available for subsistence in perpetuity. It's an interesting idea. I don't know whether it's a good idea or a bad idea. I'd like to think about it.
Thank you.
How long will it take us to lose our lands by taxation if we didn't start thinking of all these different methods that we are going to do to save the land? Why is it that we are the ones that are always losing the land? How did we get to be such a loser, anyway, of the land?
Well, that look, in the lower 48 and in Canada, people think that you were winners. They think, hey, those people in Alaska got 44 million acres. They don't know that you might lose it in 1991. They think you got it, so they think you're winners. And they know you got $962.5 million, and they think, wow, they're rich. That's what somebody else said just today. Well, we're here to find out what really happened, and you're telling me what really happened. You didn't all get rich.
Yeah, but how are we gonna? How many years is it gonna take us to be taxed off the, you know, where we don't have a place to? How much is this tax gonna be anyway? I mean, you know, how long is it gonna take us to be losers of that whole state?
Well, nobody knows if there will be a tax, but after 1991, the state could impose a tax. That's the point. If they did, how large a tax would it be? That's impossible to tell. But William Timme has written about this, T-I-M-M-E, and has suggested that even a minimal tax on Doyon's lands would mean a big tax bill, because Doyon is the largest landholder in the state, except for the federal and government and the state government. So there might not be a tax at all. On the other hand, if the state runs out of money from Prudhoe Bay, they might look around and say, we better impose a tax, we've got to get some money. And of course they would be looking at private land in the state, and native corporations are the largest private landholders in the state. You said, how did it all come about? Well, that's history, and many people think you did very well in 1971. They don't know of all the implications of ANCSA. They just think, well, they got the land and the money. They're happy, aren't they? And they don't realize how it was structured, that the land went to the corporations have to make money. That means that they don't have the same concerns about subsistence as the people in the villages. They don't know about 1991, and so on.
Tom, there's also the possibility of city and borough taxes, aren't there?
Yes, already, right now.
So you might mention that too, that, you know, like the North Star Borough or the North Slope Borough.
There are taxing boroughs in the state who have the power to impose taxes, but we are not within a taxing borough, but those boroughs do have that power. That's quite so.
How much of a vote do we need to have to secede from the Union?
Well, that's what I would call a rhetorical question, because the United States takes the view that nobody has the right to secede. Civil War was fought over that.
Okay, yeah, but if they take the land away from us, where shall we be?
Well, I think you'd be in a tough spot, but...
We would have a spot to sit on, right? Okay, we're talking sense here. We'll all be in jail or something.
Well, that's the thing that everybody wants to avoid, and if going around the state, I find that Alaska Native people all feel the same way, more or less, that they want to keep their land and subsistence. That's something I'll say in my report and say quite emphatically, and make proposals that I hope will ensure that Native land remains in Native hands. You're saying, what if the worst comes to the worst? Well, it hasn't yet.
We'll all have to become politicians, and everybody run for the governor and every other seat that's running this state, and then we could have, you know, some say about what we're doing now. That's the only way I can think of. And I wouldn't say, you know, let the kids study the land claims now because it's too late almost. And that's all the way we ever hear it is history. It's history now. It's past. It's done. But what we have to do is going to have to talk about what we're going to do about this. So I would say if you're going to go teaching anything in the villages, in the educational level, it better be what they can do, the alternatives, it's coming up right away, even to the people, not just at the kids at the school. It has to be done now, not, you know, after it's too late. That sounds like whatever happened to us, it's already too late for everything.
Oh, Mr. Peters and Mr. Nicolai, can you take that over there, or?
Over here, Mr. Peters?
I would like to know, what if, you know, these elders and these youth, what if their land fall on federal land and they don't know it, like who they talk to get it back, or what's the story, you know? And on that land bank, how long is that land bank, you know, how long does it protect the people?
Well, none of the corporations have put any of their land in a land bank yet, but they are starting to try to figure out how to do it. And one of the corporations in the Doyon region is arranging to put its land in a land bank for 5 years, so it's protected for 5 years.
That's only for 5 years, but
then it can be renewed, I believe.
Like after 1991, you know, the people won't have no say in, like, putting their land in safekeeping or stuff like that, like, who they turn to, you know. Like, after 1991, it's all over with, and, you know, right now people are just talking about protecting their land, and what I would like to see is some protection for the people right now, for the elders and the youth coming up, so that they'll have something to fall back on, you know, like, what is the money right now? You know, everybody think that we're rich right now, but the only thing that the people have to fall back on right now, for my own opinion, like, I'll keep my land, and that's the only thing I'll ever get, our land claim. Like right now, they're after my land right now, and right now the subsistence lifestyle is pretty hard to go by. We have to really fight for what we want. And if we lose those two things, what we'll have? Nothing.
Yeah. Thank you, Mr. Peters.
I had a question, not a question, but actually an answer. We're talking about land continually. All we're talking about is surface rights. We do not own subsurface.
Yeah.
The region owns the subsurface rights. Okay, Doyon lost a whole pile of money. If they continue to lose, they're going to be underneath pressure, you know, from the shareholders, ways to make up their loss. And they could come into, you know, an individual corporation without our approval for the subsurface minerals if they're there. So we don't have very much say-so in that. That should have been, you know, we should own land. We're talking about land. We should own both subsurface and surface at the beginning. We didn't have any say-so. Thank you.
Yeah, that's a good point. Could you give us your name, ma'am?
Was that question answered yet? Whether there should be a general selling of shares of in 1991? Did anybody ask you about it?
Well, we've talked a lot about it, but you go ahead and give me your view.
Because I was wondering if one person sells their share in 1991, should all of the shares go to that one person that buys one share?
Well, if one person with a bag full of money were to come to Holy Cross in 1991 and go around and try to buy a majority of shares, well, if he got enough people to sell their shares to him, he'd have them. Now, you can prevent that happening. Your corporation can decide that that only natives will have voting rights in the corporation. But even then, a decision like that can be reversed. So there isn't any absolutely foolproof way without amending the act to ensure that your shares cannot be bought up.
Okay, Chase. That's what you want.
My name is Kay Chase.
Oh, thank you, ma'am.
Hi, I'm Harriet Nicholas from Graylin. I just wanted to say, I just came back from Anchorage here, was living there for 4 or 5 years, but, you know, this native land claim, the alien, you know, got me coming back to the village, because I have all my children, you know, and they're all boys, and, you know, and I used to trap in this land, and I got all this trap line up here. You know, and since I have come back since this winter, you know, my land up there, you know, what I thought was my trap line, you know, has already been used, you know, and, you know, there's people going here and there and everywhere on it just because I wasn't here, see? So now, you know, this is where I came back for, is because of the land and my boys come, you know, and have something. But, you know, like I see it now, I see people coming and going and, you know, and, you know, we got to keep this land. There's got to be some way that, you know, got to keep it. And I'm really for it. Thank you.
Tom Malone, Green?
I don't think you got your name.
Tom Malone?
Millel?
Yes, so I have a question on 1991. What are people that don't live in a village, that live out in the cities, they sell their shares, and do they have the right to come back and live in a subsistence style again?
Yes, they would. But if enough people sell their shares and the native lands fall into non-native hands, there won't be that much land left for subsistence. But everybody under Alaskan law is entitled equally to engage in subsistence.
Yeah, thank you.
You know, all these people are talking about tax, and they say we're landowners, and all this big commotion. And then there's some subsurface that you're on, and then underneath you don't own. Like there's mineral rights. If they did find mineral rights on there, your big corporation is going to. They do have that right to come and, you know, take these minerals that underneath your that are underneath your land. And, you know, in the past, people has been using the subsurface to survive. And if they did tear up the subsurface, how long it's going to take to rebuild it back after they tear it up? And I would like to know, are they gonna
fix what they tore up or leave it the way they did, you know, to gather all these minerals?
Well, that's subject to state law regarding restoration of lands used for mining. That's really another matter. I think that the regional corporations, as Mr. Nicholas said, own the subsurface rights, and if they decide to develop those subsurface rights, well, they get the revenue, they get the income from that. The question relating to their obligation to restore the land is, in a sense, not academic, but in the Arctic and subarctic regions of North America, it takes the land a long, long time to recover, to be restored to what it was, regardless what the law says. You know, you put a bulldozer out on the tundra, and it can leave a scar that may be there for many, many years. Can't be restored. But these are questions that, in the end, Native people would have to decide for themselves, ought to be able to decide. Mr. Nicholas says, well, the villages should own the subsurface. Then you could decide for yourselves. I think this is his point. You could decide for yourselves whether you want to develop the subsurface.
Okay, our travel arrangements are made, so we have to leave a little after 5. I'd like to thank everybody for giving us the opportunity to speak, especially the people from Holy Cross, yourself. And I hope this report that we see doesn't sit on the back shelf gathering dust in later years, as usually what, you know, certain reports do, gather dust on the back of the shelves.
Well, I hope it doesn't.
Thank you.
Yes, I want to thank you and all the people from Grayling who came. And if you decide you want to say something else to the commission, you can write to our office in Anchorage and send anything you want in writing. And in fact, if you want to if there are people in the village who would rather just say it on a cassette, you can send us the cassette. And Mary can give you her card, which will have our address. Oh, well, it's 429 D Street, Anchorage. Anyway, it's on all this, these notices and things. Yes, Mr. Peters.
I would like to thank all the people from Anvik, Grayling, and Shagluck for coming down and giving their opinions and stuff like that. I would like to thank the people of Holy Cross that gave their opinions, like Betty Johnson and Jimmy Walker and myself, and I would thank you for coming, you know.
Oh, we're glad to have been here.
Yeah, it's been too complicated for me. I don't have any questions. I can't have, and I think it's too late, like Carol says. For us to decide anything, but one was can the corporations merge all in one?
Yes, that's a proposal that was made by the president of Doyon, the new president.
What would be
Sam Dementiev? He suggested that all the corporations merge into one big corporation. That might be a big advantage, but it might also be a disadvantage, because it would mean that that's a target in the sense that somebody could then try to buy up a majority of shares in that one big corporation and thus acquire all the native land in Alaska at once. So these things are usually cut both ways.
I'm just going to ask, what are the advantages and disadvantages on that?
Yeah. Well, the advantage of one big corporation holding all the native land is that it would be a big job to try to take it over. The disadvantage is that if anybody ever did succeed in taking it over, then they would, in one takeover alone, acquire all the native land in Alaska. So that's something to think about.
Also, how should I put it? I might think about it later.
Can I say something?
Sure. I agree with Mary Deakin over here. She talked about the subsurface land and land underneath. And as the, maybe you didn't see it, but our hill over here, when you came in, did you see it all tore down? Now, how are they? Well, they're taking gravel now. It's Doyon owns the gravel, I guess, and so our corporation has, I don't know what they did, but they agreed to get gravel there. Well, half of that hill is tore down. How are they ever going to restore it? They never will. And what can we do to stop them as an individual? Or
oh, I can't answer that. I'll have to go and look at it.
I got one more question now about timbers on the wood being if we cut timber on somebody's lot, what will it happen, like Grayling Corporation land? Because last year, I think they cut some pretty close out the Yukon. I heard Grayling Corporation didn't like us to cut that far out. I know what will happen if we cut some on the corporation.
Touching a little more on the subsistence lifestyle we have to live out here. Many of us know that the potential of a development of minerals is real low in our area. So we're really concerned about our lifestyle in the villages. If there's nothing developed close to our villages mineral-wise or timber-wise, we're really in trouble. Our resources are being taken away from us now, which we have no control of, and it's just a start, because once the federal and state start leasing land, there's no way you're going to stop those people. And due to no development and jobs for our young people in this immediate area, it looks pretty grim. So it's getting back to the issue of subsistence. We got to have that, otherwise we're not going to survive. Now, when the federal cutback starts, which is starting now, and supposedly the state runs out of money, these villages are in deep trouble due to lack of development and resources that can be developed. Just for a little sample of what's going on, the potential is real low on minerals. The only thing they have to sell now is a little gravel. And as far as developing our timber, they're hauling logs from Oregon up the Yukon. They're not going to utilize our timber. I asked several people in Anchorage that was affiliated more or less with that type of housing. They said, you guys' timber is inferior quality. So we got to have the Oregon logs. So like Luke says and others here, we're in trouble. It's so complicated. No one has the answer, but by sitting down and communicating with one another and appreciating one another's view It's just a step forward. We don't have the answers yet. I wish we had, but just the economy itself looks pretty gloomy. And it's unfortunate to see our young people coming back from school, getting a high school education, some vocational training, and the competition is getting stiffer in Fairbanks and Anchorage, wherever. Where do they apply themselves? We have nothing to offer them. So we are concerned about just the land issue itself, how important that is for them. At least they'll have a piece of land to live on. And going on with a little bit, touching a little lightly on the about game refuges, we had a good lesson here some years ago. U.S. Fish and Wildlife came around and made proposals for a game refuge. They called the Caillou Game Refuge up to Inoco. Well, some of us were reluctant, but we finally, what compensated us was we older folks knew that there was never over a population of moose up there, so due to the food chain, nature has a way of balancing itself out. They migrated to Yukon, so we went for the idea. What happened since then, the U.S. and Fish Wife took over that game refuge. That was just a step in the back door for the big game hunter. He wiped it out. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Walker.
Well, no, I've really benefited from listening to what you and others have said.
Before I go home and finish cooking my old moose meat from last season, I'd like to say something. I was born in this town. Oh, Judy Walker, Holy Cross. I was born here. My son was born here. And my parents and grandparents were born and raised here. And I'm listening to all you people talk about how this is our land. You're saying it's mine, that I have to pay to live on this land. My corporation is going to charge me $10 a month to live there. So if it's mine, why I got to pay for it? They shouldn't say it's mine if they're going to do that.
No, the land belongs to the corporations.
And they're leasing it to their shareholders. Then you see all these mixed couples coming into the village, white people, Negroes, coming in with their native girls. And all they're interested in is leasing land. The more land they can lease, the happier they are. I can see them getting charged for it, but not us. This is ours.
Thank you. Thank you.
I'm Sandra Gotchner from Anvik. I was just wondering if any steps have been taken to extend the deadline past 1991.
Well, that's no steps have been taken, but that's a suggestion that a lot of people have made.
It's possible, isn't it?
Congress could extend it past 1991. That's right.
Then I think that's what we should do because we clearly need more time.
Thank you.
I'd just like to make a comment that being prejudiced and trying to how much blood do you have to have in you to be a native? I don't know, being prejudiced is not going to, help any of us. That's all.
Thank you.
served.
Mr. Peters?
Well, as a board member, like right now, off the record, you know, like if any of the shareholders or anybody in our corporation would like to have anything to say, you know, they should come and express their feelings at the meeting, you know, and anything like that, because I'm just only one board member, but if people have problems, they should come to the meeting and express their problems so it'll be worked out, you know.
That's the shareholders meeting.
That's correct.
For the Holy Cross Village Corporation.
That's right.
Yeah.
I agree with what Sandra Gotchner said about extending the time from after 1991, because it's taken us so long, none of us even understand ANSCA as it is. We have to hire lawyers to interpret it to, you know, to us, and then they can't even explain it themselves. To begin with, when...
Well, they disagree. They come up with two explanations.
They do. Well, to begin with, corporations have to hire non-natives to explain, you know, what is going on in corporations, to run our offices and everything, because the native people didn't even understand it to begin with, and we can't even explain it to our people, you know, that are growing up. We don't have enough knowledge of ANSCA to begin with, I think, and I, you know, to extend the time for us to gain more knowledge and see what else we could do to keep our lands, I'd like to see, you know, it go beyond 1991.
Thank you.
I was just telling her earlier, I never speak unless I'm forced to. She handed me the mic, so I guess I'll talk. I don't think the Act was ever intended to do anything for us as Indigenous people. Just another way to get the land, and that's all that people want. Survivors. people that are lucky enough to get jobs, hold jobs, keep their land, more power to them. But what about the rest of the people? Long.
I see.
And the lady that taught it didn't have adequate background in native land claims. I'm sure she didn't understand a lot of things, but what she did understand, she explained to the students. So I don't see where she could have gone too wrong if nobody else understands it either.
Were you a student there of hers?
Oh, no.
Oh. Excuse me.
I met Mary here, and her and I were talking, and somebody brought up ages, and as it turned out, I was older than she is. Well, thank you anyway. No,
I shouldn't apologize.
No, you don't have to apologize. No. Tell me more. No. No, Mary was a colleague of mine. Yeah. I'm a teacher here at Holy Cross, elementary school teacher. My first year was this past school year. And I'm not insulted.
Thank you. Thank you.
I think she's our very first one, a religious teacher. Huh? Yeah, very first.
Very first.
A teacher from Holy Cross.
Oh, I see.
So we're proud of her. Oh, you are too long.
Well, my name is Carl Giroux from Anvik, and when I was just starting high school, that's when I had some high school courses, and they were about native land claims. But the thing was, it was so mixed up, and I really couldn't understand it then, and I really couldn't now. I think what Congress did what's wrong. They knew we didn't know nothing about this act that they passed. and they knew we were not business inclined. And so they had to all figure it out. We'll let them give them the try, and that's the only chance they're going to get. And if they mess up, you know, it's their fault. And now I think the village corporations, they should get more young people to school, so they could.
What? Jim, is that?
Okay. Well, that's my idea, is get all these village corporations to send their young generation, get them educated, and they'll have land that they'll have to deal with all kinds of, let's see, there's courses to be taught concerning land, and I think their goals should be to educate the young people. And that's all I have to say.
Thank you.
Is there anyone else?
I don't understand too well the native allotment. I have a native allotment that's 160 acres, and I don't have any say so now as to what happens with that land until 1991. As I understand it, is that when it's turned over to me?
No. I'm sorry. Okay. The native allotments are separate from the land, from the corporate lands, from the corporation lands, and your native allotment is yours. You can't it can't be taxed, but you can't sell it unless the federal government consents. That's the limitation on mm-hmm. your rights. But your native allotment is safe. 1991 can't affect your native allotment.
Oh,
it's
okay.
The corporation's lands that we're concerned about when it comes to 1991.
Well, I have a question about my native allotment. If there are people trapping and fishing and hunting on my native allotment right now, what do I have, what's my say-so about it? I mean, do I have a right to say you can't do this any longer because it's mine?
Well, that would depend on how long they'd been trapping there, whether you had gone along with it. It would depend on a lot of other things, and I really can't answer that. But if you are the owner of the native allotment and you don't want those people to be trapping out there, then you may well be able to stop them. I can't say for certain, though, because it would depend on other things that I don't know enough about.
Okay, thank you.
All right. Well, I just want to thank all of you who've participated this afternoon. It's been a very good afternoon's discussion, and we will hear from Mrs. Johnson again.
I just want to say thank you, too, and your lovely wife and all your helpers. Glad you even thought about Holy Cross, our little old town. Thank you.
Well, we really enjoyed coming, and it's been a good meeting, and we'll reconvene at 7:30 tonight and hear from the younger people if they wish to speak, and from anybody else that wants to speak, and so we'll just adjourn till 7:30. Is that it, Mary?
Mm-hmm. And there is some, I understand, I've been told today that there will be a potluck here starting at about 6:00, so
If everybody comes, you better feed them. Well, that was a good idea. I mean, to have you go around with the mic. What? It does, eh?
Did you have anything more to say?
Take a seat up here if you wish.
Okay, because I think it's a little bit easier for me to read.
Sure.
Because I didn't have enough guts to read this off the paper, you know.
Well.
So, I didn't think I would do this, but I can get here.
Okay, we've always been the rich and the free. We have owned the best real estate in the world, yet we've been taught how to be poor. It was an intricate plan to take the last of the vast lands, the cleanest water, the most beautiful mountains, and the best of foods. We knew how to regulate the fur-bearing creatures and how to take only the fish that we need to care for our own. We were aware and fulfilled the needs of our young and elders. We were a dancing people. Now we're pretty dependent on the government, at the least. We can say that we used to be caretakers of the best land left in the world. What I think is happening here is the government is asking us how we want to die. To us, it's coming to our own funeral. There's a vast difference between the people that do not belong to this land and those who do. I've seen a patchwork of land down in the States. The government has always been after the land ever since the first time down in the lower 48. First they bought the land from Russia, and then they sent missionaries that were paid by the federal government to capture the spirit of the people here in Alaska. Different churches causing division of the spirit. Then we asked some white people and a few natives if they want to become a state, a part of the great United States. This happened. Hard on the heels of statehood came ANCSA to capture the minds of the native people. Sure enough, there's more controversy among the natives than even the threat of nuclear war. Last, if you take the land, you destroy the native people. We've been totally taken with no recourse. The natives have the highest statistic of suicide. We've been dying off real quick. Many of our history, our elders are dead now. I used to be an artist. Now all I can think of is black to the future, and my hands hang down. I cut fish and hope it's not the last. I can write, but it makes me cry. In the end, the quiet people die. We've all been divided. We fight and bicker. Our only hope is to look up to God, as other people who are about to die do. So mark the days on your calendar. We don't have much time left as we used to know our land. We're divided, our spirit, our mind, and we have no more land to divide. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Thank you for coming again and express our feelings, you know. And if people don't talk out how they feel and stuff like that, you know, people never know. That my own opinion is this, that if people don't express their thoughts and stuff like that, it will never be heard. And this is the only time to do it, and, you know, I would like to thank you for coming and all these villagers around here and everybody that put in their input in this. And, you know, if people don't speak up and say what they want to say, you know, who'll say it for them, you know? That's why I asked a few questions today, and I hope that, you know, be some little outcome to it and be down on paper or something like that, you know, just don't drift away and say that we said something and it's never been heard and stuff like that, you know. So I'd like to thank you for coming and everybody that came, like the surrounding villages, expressed their feelings and my own opinion. I thank you very much.
Well, thank you.
No, I haven't. Excuse me. Much more to add than most of the testimony given today has been in the land issue. And I notice when the native people speaks, it's for everyone, not for self-interest. And like Mike mentioned, this is something has to be not done now. We can't, we all realize that. We can't afford to wait any longer. The solutions we don't have yet, but hopefully we can work toward those solutions with your cooperation and other people and filling us in a great area we knew nothing about how to process like transferring lands. And since we're in have a foot in the back door in some of the issues, it has to be kept in mind that this is an ongoing issue. We cannot just be here today and forget about tomorrow. It's too grave a concern. Our very native way of life is at stake. If we want to, we'll still have to live subsistence out here due to lack of development. I'm repeating what I said today. This is our lifestyle, and the younger people will speak for themselves, but we older guys have seen the transition. Many of us don't like what we see. We're not going to be free people anymore. They're going to be up. No trespassing signs when the land is all conveyed to the state and corporations. And with the leasing of land, even the selling of land, would be just detrimental to us, because how are we going to survive without employment? These young people need employment for their light bills. You name it, you know, they got to have that money, and where is it going to come from? That's a good question, because I don't have the answer. They may live, have a different lifestyle, who knows, but traditional use of the lands are getting, you know, we're getting squeezed right along. We're getting smaller and smaller. We're not free people anymore, like when I grew up. So you see those pressures building up all around us. And from the, well, the elders want to, I'll express for them, we thank you folks for coming out here and looking forward to work with you more in the future. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Well, I just want to thank you for coming down this evening to conclude the meeting, and I want to, through you, those present, thank all the people that came this afternoon, and to say how helpful it has been to me, and the contributions this evening if I may say so, especially Ms. Dementiev's, I think, who will remember what was said here. My only regret is that I was first invited to come here by the grade fours and fives at the school who wrote to me, and I wish I had been able to come when school is in and could have had them over here to see what these kids look like who writing letters all over the place. So I will be visiting villages throughout Alaska for the remainder of the year. My report will be made public in the summer of 1985, and I will send a copy, of course, to the City Council, to the Village Corporation, the IRA Council, and to each person who has given evidence today. And we'll be staying here overnight and probably visiting one or two of the older people tomorrow if we can, and then leaving tomorrow afternoon. And I just want to say on behalf of my wife and Mary and Jim that it's been very pleasant. So thank you, and the meeting stands adjourned, and I invite everybody to remain for the BLM gathering that I believe is to follow.